Tak so mili tamni nanka smo si gurdi namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Please, is there any source of additional light?
There you go. So we heard something about Srila Jiva Goswami and the book just came out, posthumously published, Gopi Paranadana Prabhu, his work on the Tattva Sandarbha. It's not easy to get, but it's important work by Srila Jiva Goswami, and it's nice that we have it, even in time for this day. Today, I'll be giving a Bhagavatam class, but we heard something about Srila Jiva Goswami, Mataji, and now we'll hear something about Jagadish Pandit. It's also his disappearance day. Jagadish Pandit was the savior of the world. He was a monsoon cloud of Krishna Prema, pouring showers of mercy upon everyone. That's from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jagadish Pandit and his brother Mahesh lived near Jagannath Mishra in Sridhan, Mayapur. One Ekadasi day, baby Nimai was crying constantly. He stopped after taking Mahaprasadam rice in Jagadish Pandit's home. Then Nimai performed a miracle. Jagadish Pandit swooned in ecstasy upon seeing baby Gauranga manifest a beautiful form with a monsoon cloud blue complexion, shining like lightning and adorned with a shimmering peacock feather. After moving to Sri Kshetra Dham, Jagannath Puri, Lord Gaurachandra asked Jagadish to help spread the Harinam Sankirtan movement. Taking Lord Jagannath's permission, Jagadish Pandit took a deity of Jagannath back to Nadia to worship in his village of Yashora. In Krishna's Nitya Lila, Jagadish Pandit serves as the dancer Chandrahasa, or a Nagapatni, wife of Kaliya. Srila Jagadish Pandit ki jai, Srila Jiva Goswami ki jai. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Now, I was not sure. I was asked to read from text 45 to 47, but 48 is the last text in the chapter and has a very short purport. I think I should just finish the chapter. Is that okay? Well, you mean that somebody was going to give class just on the last verse? All right. Well, if they were going to do that, they can do that. I may touch a little bit on it, but they can also remember Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gave class 10 days or a whole month on the first one verse?
3 months.
3 months. Okay, so if we have a little overlap, that'll be all right. There's other verses to speak on. So this is Canto 10, chapter 29, beginning with text 45 and 46 is a double verse, no purport, so I'll read that myself. Which verse should we chant together? I guess 47 we can chant together. I'll just read myself the first verses here. This is text 45, 46. Nadya pulinam avisha gopi bir hima valukam justam tat tatra lanandi kumudamoda vayunam bahu prashara parirambha karalokuro koru nivistanala bananarma nakagra patahe. This is a tough one. Sveya bala loka hasatayr praja sundaran sundarinam utam bayam latipatim ramayam chakaram.
Yeah, we can. I guess everyone could, we could chant in unison if you have it on the screen.
Translation: Sri Krishna went with the gopis to the bank of the Yamuna, where the sand was cooling and the wind, enlivened by the river's waves, bore the fragrance of lotuses. There Krishna threw his arms around the gopis and embraced them. He aroused Cupid in the beautiful young ladies of Raja by touching their hands, hair, thighs, belts, and breasts, by playfully scratching them with his fingernails, and also by joking with them, glancing at them, and laughing with them. In this way, the Lord enjoyed his pastimes. There's not much to say after that verse. We'll go on. Text 47. Evam Bhagavata Krishna Labda Mana Mahatmanaha Atmanam Menedi Srinam Manyanyo Adikam Bhuvi. Translation: The gopis became proud of themselves for having received such special attention from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and each of them thought herself the best woman on earth. Purport: The gopis were proud because they had attained as their lover the greatest of all personalities. So in a sense, they were proud of Krishna. Also, the pride of the gopis was a pretense created by Krishna's pastime potency in order to intensify their love for him through separation. In this connection, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti quotes Bharat Muni's Natya Shastra: Navina Vipralambena Samboga Pushti Mashnute. Direct contact is not fully appreciated until separation has been experienced. So forgive me for not having us all take turns chanting the verse. It's too late now. I forgot to do that. Om Ajnana, I think I said that. Namo Vishnu Buddhaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamani Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nivashesha Sanyavari Parshade Satarani. Alright. So the general idea that I'm inspired to present is just that to understand rasa, we're hearing this very rasika section, the loving relationships between the Lord and his confidential devotees. We must first understand tattva. Second Bhagavad Gita, janma karma chame divyam evam yaveti tattvata. We also hear verses about that even there's even a tattva about rasa. We hear about rasa, rasa jnana. We had one god sister, rasagya, knowledge of rasa. Knowledge of rasa is also described in Bhagavatam that increases our desire to hear. Vayam tuna vitripyama uttama shloka vartaya. Yatrinvatam rasa jnanam. What is it? Svadu svadu pade pade. We never tire of hearing the nectar of the pastimes of the Lord. Those who are relishing transcendental relationships with him or aware of them, that rasa jnan, rasa jnanam, they experience the increased ecstasy, increased pleasure with every step, with every syllable of hearing. So I made my note here. I said, to understand rasa, one must first understand tattva. But then I also wrote, this is not always so easy. So I'll talk about four topics. Some of them will be a little brief, some of them maybe a little more. One of Prabhupada's godbrother, I believe it was Sridhar Maharaj, he coined the term reality the beautiful. Anyone hear that term? Reality the beautiful. So the point is that Krishna is that, I'm just kind of anticipating, some of us may have still, it's hard not to, I mean, if we have any kind of material contamination, we have a tendency to project that. And when we relish the sweetness of what's going on between Krishna and the gopis, we may not fully be conscious of its transcendental nature, its completely spiritual nature. So one point is that Krishna is not at all interested in the perverted reflection of reality that we call the material world. He is, in this sense, quite different from us conditioned souls. Then in text 47, we heard about the pride of the gopis. But as mentioned in the purport, we note there are two differences between mundane pride, pratistha, and that of the gopis. So we'll look at the purport. Actually, we can maybe cover that entire point right now, because it's not something that I'll elaborate on so much, but it's worth mentioning. One is that, in a sense, as it says in the purport, they were proud of Krishna. So we're proud in this material world, we're proud of what we feel are our own accomplishments. Although in Bhagavad Gita, then Krishna tells Arjuna that you should not think of yourself as the creator of activities. And he mentions that in more than one place. And of course, the famous Prakrite, Kriyamanani, Gunai, Pamani, Sarvashaha, etc. That we're not really the doer, and we don't really have proprietary right to our to what appears to be the results of my activities. Krishna even says that I am the ability in man. So the gopis didn't have that. They were proud because they had attained as their lover the greatest of all personalities. So in a sense, they were proud of Krishna. And then the other difference is that our pride, sometimes called pratistha, is not a pastime of the Lord. As there was those who have been around, been there and done that, or been there and seen that, sometimes neophyte devotees would make the mistake and say, oh, there's a very advanced devotee, he's freaking out, or he's doing this or doing that, and it's lila, it's all his lila. No, when we become overly proud, it's generally not some kind of lila pastime, it's just the modes of material nature working, mode of passion especially. So then we hear in the purport about Bharat Muni's Natya Shastra, that means about drama, a shastra about drama relating to Rasava. Rasa will be another topic we'll talk about at the end a little bit. So these are the two differences. One is that we're proud, we're not always directly proud of Krishna, whereas the gopis were. They were proud, ah, we have Krishna. Of course, it said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they probably weren't thinking of the majestic feature, but they were still aware that we have the best of males, we have the best, and he's paying so much attention to us. And then the other point was that it was arranged by the pastime potency of the Lord in order to create a situation where it would be a logical thing that Krishna would teach them a lesson and suddenly disappear, mystically just disappear. And then that would provoke this tremendous vipralamba bhava, this tremendous feeling of separation from Krishna, and that would only increase. In one sense, it would even increase Krishna's presence for the gopis. This is happening briefly in the rasa dance. What to speak when a Krura takes Krishna out of Vrindavan? This extended, it would seem tortuous, prolonged separation. That, again, because it's transcendental, it only increased their love and then Krishna's presence. Krishna tells Narada Muni, I'm not present in Vaikuntha, I'm not present in the heart of the yogis, I'm present where my devotees are chanting my glories. And the gopis were incessantly chanting the glorious qualities of the Lord and his activities. All right. So, moving back to that first point, this idea that Krishna is not at all interested in the Maya, like that. One aspect is that we hear that Krishna is not interested because he's described as Atmarama. Because it's a very, very famous verse, Atmarama Chamunayo, Nigranta Apya Rukhrame, Kurvantya Haitukim Bhaktim, Itambuto Guno Hari. That those who are all different varieties of Atmaramas, those who take pleasure in this, in Atma or spirit self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. We also heard a few texts back in text 33, part of the translation of the shloka was, expert transcendentalists always direct their affection towards you because they recognize you as their true self and eternal beloved. So not only the gopis, but Atmaramas, self-satisfied transcendentalists. Queen Kunti also, she mentions that these Atmaramas, the completely peaceful, they're not disturbed. But then she describes also Krishna as Atmaram as well. Atmaramaya Shantaya Kaivalya Pattaye Namaha. And therefore you are the master of the monists, because you are completely undisturbed, just like those Atmaramas. But monists, or apparent impersonalist or transcendentalist, because sometimes it's described that the Vaishnavas are the real monists, because it is the impersonalists that have no ability to recognize the fact that illusion exists and it happens. And they kind of say it's not real, it's just not there. They deny that it even exists because they can't describe its origin. They can't connect this material world with God because they don't feel God as a person. They don't see that Brahma, the impersonal Brahman, has Shaktis. So therefore the world is just false, they say. So we're the real monist because we can connect even illusion with reality. That's why the material world, I discovered another verse in the 11th canto, I don't have it with me right now, but besides the first verse of the Bhagavatam, there's also a verse much later in the Bhagavatam, which also very specifically describes the material world as unreal. That's the whole topic, but I'm saying reality, the beautiful. The material world becomes real when we understand that it is connected with the absolute truth. Tanchanma dasyayataha. It's not that Krishna only, we won't say create, but emanates from him, from himself, the spiritual world, or from Balaram, but it's also the material world, Kumar Mahavishnu. So, aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam. I am the origin of all the worlds, both material and spiritual. So when one is aware of that, and it's not easy, again, because the material bodies that we have, they're designed perfectly for a lot of things. It's described that in the human form of life, one can go to take birth on a higher planet, one could become liberated, one could take birth again as a human, or one could take birth as an animal after the human form of life. So it's quite a crossroads. So it's good for that. It's good for bringing us to different destinies. But it's also good If we have the desire still to remain in this material world, just having a material body creates this amazing exaggeration of our sense of what our existence actually consists of. We start thinking, because the body seems different. It's like, you know, of course, Supersoul, he knows the pleasures and pains in everybody, but we ourselves, we all seem like we're self-contained in these machines. And it's only temporary. The body is only temporary. It will not exist. It has to end. Therefore, it's not real. These bodies are not real. But at the same time, while we have them, they create in us this amazing sense that we exist independently. As long as the body is there, and it gives us a sense of independent existence, isn't it? It's described that knowledge and the mode of goodness, sava bhuteshu yenayakam bhavam avyayam ikshate avibhaktam vibhakteshu tajjnanam vidhi sattvikam, in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that knowledge and the mode of goodness, you see the oneness, you see actually we're all one, we're all Brahman. Of course, as Prabhupada describes in the purport, that impersonal knowledge is called knowledge in the mode of goodness. But as far as it goes, it's correct that we're not defined by these different temporary configurations. Now, the Atmaramas, they know that. They are able to, at least reach and they go beyond even the mode of material goodness, and they know that this is Brahman. Right. So why are they attracted? And what to speak of the living entity who is an Atmarama, a great transcendentalist, what to speak of the chief Atmarama, who is Lord Sri Krishna himself. So just as the living entity who is Atmarama, the transcendentalist, would not be attracted to anything mayika, anything of maya, he would see this is just temporary. So similarly, the supreme Atmarama, as described by Queen Kunti, he would also not be interested in something illusory. It's not good enough. There may be many grades of things are better, things are worse, things are more opulent, less opulent within the material world, but there's something that they all share, which is a paucity, a scarcity of reality. And you have that book, Substance and Shadow, by Sahotra Swami. So it's all the shadow, it's not the substance. The Srimad Bhagavatam is designed to present us with the substance. Actually, Krishna is existence, Satchidananda Vigraha. So when we say something exists, it means it's Krishna. So Krishna, in one sense, is everything. In Bhagavad Gita, he says, Yachaiva sattvika bhava, rajasas tamasas chaye, matakiviti tanvidi, natvahan teishu te mai. He says, all states of being, whether they be of goodness, passion, or ignorance, come from my nature. In one sense, Arjuna, in one sense, I'm everything. But I'm not under the jurisdiction of these three modes of material nature. Why is that? Because they come from me. So Krishna is the absolute truth. And he's not interested. One example we find is in the second canto, seventh chapter, sixth verse, we hear the list of the incarnations, one of two or more lists of incarnations of Lord in Bhagavatam, which are, I won't say stepping stones, we don't want to step on God, but they bring us gradually to this wonderful 10th canto. So it's stated that to exhibit his personal way of austerity and penance, he appeared in twin forms as Narayan and Nara in the womb of Murti, the wife of Dharma and the daughter of Daksha. Celestial beauties, the companions of Cupid, went to try to break his vows, but they were unsuccessful, for they saw that many beauties like them were emanating from him, the personality of Godhead. So in the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada presents the example of the confectioner. The confectioner, the one who you go to India, like in Vrindavan, there's this There's this, we were hippies, we say, a dynamite sweet shop, first class sweet shop. So you see confection, what to speak of Govardhan, they have this huge, huge sweet shop. So these are called confectioners. And you don't usually see the owner of the sweet shop sitting there eating so many of the sweets. They don't, it's like selling ice cubes to the Eskimos. I mean, they just have a plethora of sweets. They're always making them all the time. So the underlying philosophy of this relates to the fact that ultimately everything and everyone is expanding from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even the modes of material nature. I mentioned that verse in Gita. And even all the opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations. Who can say that verse? Oh, you're disqualified. You know all the verses. Someone who's qualified who possibly may not know. No, you got it. I want to give someone else a chance because you're the shloka wala. Okay, let it rip. Yajat vimutvat salpam srimad ujitam evava tatad eva vagachatvam mama te jomsasam ava ataiva bahunatena kingyatena tabarjanam vishtambya hamidam trishtam vikam shenasti to jagat. The last two verses of the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that know, Arjuna, that all beautiful, opulent, and glorious creations spring from just a spark of my splendor. So no matter how opulent and glorious, but if it's within the material world, and that's the chapter dealing with the vibhuti yogis, the opulences of Krishna that we can see in the material world, still Krishna's not that impressed by that because it's all him anyway. Sometimes it's even described that the innocence of Krishna dancing with the gopis, it's like one analogy is like a child playing with his reflection in a mirror. Actually, even Srimati Radharani emanates from Krishna. Why do I say that? Okay, we go to Prabhupada's purport to 10.13.20, as shown below. It says that, as explained by Srila Jiva Goswami, ki jai, Radha Krishna Pranaya Viknitir Ladini Shaktir Asmat. Radha and Krishna are the same. Krishna, by expanding his pleasure potency, becomes Radharani. The same pleasure potency, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, was expanded by Krishna when he himself became all the calves and boys. This was that pastime. Okay. So, this is all to give us a little sense that we should not at all project our bodily conception of life, our selfish desires, I say our, I still have, most of us I think still have selfish desires and think that that's what's going on between Krishna and the gopis here. Even that pride of the gopis is pastimonious. It's arranged by the pastime energy. The problem in the material world, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, avijananti mamudama sintanam ashtita vatantananya, what is it? Manaso? That fools deride me when I descend in a human or human-like form. They do not understand my supreme, I'm the source of everything. How's the exact translation? My beyond, in the old edition it said, my supreme dominion over all that be. I still got that. Well, I have a Bhagavad Gita here. We say in Spanish, para salir de la duda, that means to get away from the doubt. It's chapter 9, of course. Text 11. Uh-oh, 9:11. It says, fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. And it's also stated in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, a similar message that I have it here. Tamaya manyate loko yasangam yasanginam atmopamyena manucham. Vyaprinvanam yato buddhaha. That fancy word, Vyaprinvanam, all it means is they do that. What do? The abuddhas, the unintelligent. It says here, the common materialistic conditioned souls speculate that the Lord is one of them. It's what we're not supposed to do, especially when we're hearing about Rasa Lila. Out of their ignorance, they think that the Lord is affected by matter, although he is unattached. Right. That's okay. That verse is it's the 11th chapter of the first canto. I didn't make a note of it. I only remember right now it's the 11th chapter of the first canto. So this is many, many instructions we get that we shouldn't impose our selfish, materialistic, separatist, we can say, attitude on the loving relation between the Lord and his devotees. So I'm almost out of time, actually, already. So a little bit about rasa, because there's so little time. Well, one thing is that we heard about the quote from, what is that, Bharata Muni? Now, there's a book on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, a translation by a gentleman by the name of David Haberman. And he must be affiliated with some Vaishnava. I know Sajraj Guru has a lot of contact with him in the past. And he has a really long introduction, and he gives a, you know, like an objective historical account of the development of theory of rasa in drama. And this Bharata Muni, who's mentioned, is kind of an acharya for that. And then that is all coming before Srila Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and all this discussion, and Jiva Goswami, and other acharyas that are expert in describing rasa, the theory of rasa, and the examples of rasa in spiritual life, in Radha Krishna Lila. But we shouldn't think that this, that because Bharata Muni, he was that it's something contrived, that Srila Rupa Goswami, that came first, the development of dramatic theory of how actors and audiences should interact. I'll read something. This is from Nectar Devotion, chapter 34. And the name of that chapter is called The Nectar of Devotion. So there's a chapter called The Nectar of Devotion in The Nectar of Devotion. Let me just read a little from that. The particular type of ecstatic loving sentiment that develops within the heart of a particular devotee is considered to be a vaibhava. And the resultant manifestations, such as moving of the eyebrows, fear, astonishment, and smiling, which have been explained herein before, are called anubhava. The different causes for developing anubhava and vibhava are called steady ecstasy or sanchari bhava. Whenever there is a recitation of poetry or a dramatic play on the different pastimes of Krishna, the audience develops different kinds of transcendental loving service for the Lord. Now this is a good audience. The audience develops different kinds of transcendental loving service for the Lord. They enjoy different types of vibhava, anubhava, and sanchari bhava. Is this actually the sun? I can't believe it. I almost forgot what it looks like. No one, while remaining on the material platform, this is now, you know, this is a very, very important instruction from Prabhupada, and we encourage some of our neighbors in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sanghas to read this if they actually feel that they are very faithful followers of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Devotion, no one, while remaining on the material platform, should discuss these different descriptions of bhava and anubhava by quoting different statements of transcendental literatures. I mean, wow. I think I should. No one, while remaining on the material platform, now you could discuss it if you're really not on the material platform, okay, but Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. No one, while remaining on the material platform, should discuss these different descriptions of Baba and Anubhava by quoting different statements of transcendental literatures. In other words, sometimes we hear so much technical jargon being thrown in with so much detail about the different ecstasies of Srimati Radharani, which are based on this whole rasa tattva, and we're not supposed to obsess with those things while we're still at all on the material plane. Such manifestation are displays of the transcendental potency of the Lord. One should simply try to understand that on the spiritual platform there are many varieties of reciprocal love. That we should at least understand that. So everyone should take heed of this if they actually respect Srila Prabhupada's Shiksha. I want to end by one quote, and this is a little axe I love to grind. I got into trouble in L.A. giving class where I quoted from O.B.L. Kapoor's The Life and Religion of Sri Chaitanya. And everyone said, no, you're quoting Gaudiya Mathura. Quoting from this. It's not Prabhupada's book. How could you quote that as authority? But actually, in Back to Godhead magazine, which happens to be an ISKCON publication, in the year 2000, on the demise, the occasion of the disappearance or the demise of Adi Keshava Prabhu, whose civil name is O.B.L. Kapoor, professor of philosophy, Srila Prabhupada, it was quoted that Srila Prabhupada encouraged ISKCON devotees to read that book and highly praised the book, filled with notes and quotes. It is the first scientific presentation of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. I mean, really, it's actually quite eloquent. I mean, Indian-born personalities writing in English, it's very hard, with the exception of Srila Prabhupada, it's very hard to find anyone who is more poetic. Tita Papaya, what is that? Well, I really appreciate that. I tend to do that without the text. But thank you for giving me more self-confidence. I mean, we have time constraint is there besides, the behaving yourself. But the idea is that that book.
No, you speak up till 9 o'clock.
Oh, I thought she said speak your mind. You said speak till 9. Oh, all right. Okay, I'll go back into slightly restraining mode again. All right. Well, 9 o'clock. What an opulence! That's another 13 minutes. All right. Well, not to belabor the point, but now Satyaraj Prabhu once told me that he believed that actually Tamal Krishna Goswami wrote that, but certainly was authorized by Srila Prabhupada, and it was quoted in the BTG, but we don't really know that for sure. Let's give the benefit of the doubt. Either way, it was authorized by Prabhupada, it was probably Prabhupada's language also. And so in that book, there's a quote from, I have a card. I just scribbled this down the last minute before I was racing out the door, where Kaliya Fani Prabhu kindly drove me here to make it just in time for Mangalati. Here it is. This is a quote from the Brihad Vamana Purana, quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami, and in turn quoted in The Life and Religion of Sri Chaitanya by O.B.L. Kapoor. I've seen some of his other books, but this book is the one book that he wrote that really, I even travel with it. You can't get it in Kindle. There is no end to I really scribbled it. Leelas. There's no end to my Madhurya Leelas. But the Madhurya and the charm of Rasa Leela, which is what we're hearing about in this section of Bhagavatam, is unique. Not to speak of the bliss I experience in my actual participation in it, the Rasa dance, the very idea of the Rasa Leela puts me in a blissful state of mind which I cannot describe. Now this is Krishna himself speaking, Krishna giving his own testimony of how he feels about the Rasa Leela. And before I end, just the philosophical aspect here is that we are given by the greatest matchless gift, Srila Rupa Goswami, through Srila Prabhupada, we're giving a discrimination, a distinction between bhakti, mixed bhakti, karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, or even yoga mishra bhakti, and pure bhakti, shuddha bhakti. That's such a treasure of knowledge to have received. It's not so difficult to understand, but all these so-called different religions, they don't make that kind of distinction. It's practical. Now, when one is aspiring for shuddha bhakti, then what is one of the results? If one is still on the platform of karma mishra bhakti, then you worship the Lord. It's like chaturvida bhajanti mam jana sukirtanajanam ato jidnasarartati janicha bharatarshava. This is the four kinds of pious men that start to worship me. They have some agenda. They have some personal selfish and maybe very noble. One is afflicted and his poor kids are holding on to his pants or his dhoti and he's got a broken arm and he's, I mean, he's really afflicted like anything. And he needs to be relieved from that, and also perhaps he needs some economic development, fast. So that's all right, but it's not pure bhakti. What to speak of wanting some crass thing in the material world, some really profane thing. So if one is on the platform of pure bhakti, then he'll begin to become interested in what Krishna wants. We gave that example. What is Krishna's attitude towards the rasa dance? Like Bhaktivedanta Swami and others may have pointed out that when you're offering arti to the deities, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the ghee lamp that Krishna enjoys the most. When it's being, the deities like the ghee lamp especially, I heard. Or even that simple thing, when you see the pujari going and putting the mirror in front of the deities, we don't see them. We see Krishna, we're looking at Krishna. So Krishna, of course, if he wanted to see himself without a mirror, he could do that, but it's a gesture of how Krishna's seeing. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he's saying that not so much you should want to see Krishna, but rather you should want Krishna to see you. You should act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. So by pure bhakti, it gives us the basis of becoming more interested in how Krishna sees things and what Krishna wants and what Krishna likes, rather than how Krishna could become my order supplier. Prabhupada was giving a lecture in Ohio State University, sharing the stage with Allen Ginsberg. And he gave a nice lecture, and the students just ate it up. They loved it. And he was saying that that when you praying to Krishna for your bread, give us our daily bread, that is not love of God. That is love of bread. And just like here, when they said that, the students just broke up. They laughed, and they really appreciated Prabhupada's transcendental humor. So a little bit on this idea of that we shouldn't impose material ideas, and we should just appreciate as much as we're able to, whatever little realization we have, we should appreciate how much Krishna is happy in the rasa dance, and how much his pure devotees are happy, and also how these are not really separate entities. It's not like we're impersonalists, that we're all one, but we're much more one than we think we are when we have these material bodies and we at all identify with them. there's much more oneness amongst all living entities at Krishna's lotus feet. So I didn't do the last text of the chapter. Somehow that was left for someone else, I guess. So we'll stop here, and it's still 7 more minutes to go, according to the wonderful mercy I got of extended time up till 9. Does someone want to add anything or ask some question, which I can't guarantee I'll be able to answer, but we can try? Yes, Makunda Prabhu.
The first part of Nectar Devotion, both were Srila Prabhupada, or one was from the gentleman that you quoted earlier had written, Haberman?
David Haberman.
Was the first part of your quote from there? Because something...
No, I didn't quote from David Haberman. The first quote that was said, Bharata Muni was quoting from Theory of Drama. He was the great drama theorist. And then Prabhupada quotes from him. And not Prabhupada, the BBT purport quotes from him. In the next to the last verse, the one, the last verse that we read, that was Bharat Muni. And then the quote from Haberman, not Haberman, the quote from O.B.L. Kapoor, Adi Keshava Prabhu, was the one about how much Krishna himself, how Krishna feels about the rasa dance.
Yeah, I was thinking it is really important for devotees in the purport of the shloka, Siddhanta Baila Chitanaya Koru Ulas and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada writes how important it is to understand in another place what is Krishna consciousness is described. He said, Krishna tattva, bhakti tattva, prema tattva, bhava tattva, rasa tattva, lila tattva, that to understand these 6 things is Krishna consciousness. So, especially because such a delicate subject matter, and as devotees, we may be subject to so many from academic circles, from other types of Vaishnavas, so many things, it is really important to understand rasa tattva. Clearly, it's our life and soul of what we're practicing 30, 40, 10, 15, however many years devotees been practicing. So if it's not clear, the idea that a misconception can come in is very likely.
Yeah, that book by David Haberman, I would recommend read that long introduction describing, because it's an actual history of how the theory of drama was developed, and Srila Rupa Goswami appears to pick up from that. But because we're protected by Srila Prabhupada's shiksha, then we know that it's not just a historical thing and that it's something that was contrived or invented by Bharat Muni as some theory of how to perform dramas in this world. But rather, that dramatic theory is originally there in Krishna Lila, and the rasa tattva is coming from the spiritual world. It's not that it was just a historical development in drama. So yeah, I recommend it, but I don't recommend it for someone who's not really referencing Srila Prabhupada's books and Srila Prabhupada's teachings, because it's so easy to get a miss. David Haberman, he even uses the word, what was that word? Maybe Krishna's arrangement that I'm not remembering it, because I don't want to slander the guy. But he uses one word which could be very misleading in terms of how we can view Krishna's lila, and it sounded kind of strange, but I'm glad I don't remember the word right now.
Swami Bhaktivinoda was also a very good translation.
Which?
Bhanuswami.
Is a good translation of Bhaktivinoda Sindhu. Yeah, we have that now. Now we have ISKCON. I read the David Haberman before that came out. I have it in New York, I hope, still. I mean, it's very interesting, but you have to be careful.
Actually, Bhanu Swami commenting on this point about Bharat Muni, Natya Shastra being predating Rupa Goswami, he says that actually Rupa Goswami doesn't agree with Bharat Muni. He differs from him. Bharat Muni, he emphasizes the secondary guna rasas as they would be in a drama, you know, like things that you see in dramas around the world today, you know, like horror, you know, all these secondary rasas. He has those as primary. He doesn't make the distinction between the primary rasas, Santya Dasya, Vatsalya Pradurya. And so Rupa Goswami.
Bharata Muni emphasizes what?
He emphasizes the secondary rasas. You know, and so there's. And there are other points. Bhano Swami points out that Rupa Goswami disagrees with Bharata Muni. So it's certainly not something he just follows Bharata Muni and disagrees.
Right, right. Well, historically it follows, and a lot of the rasa theory, the whole idea of rasas, you can have the false impression that it was just some historical invention.
But he differs on the yeah.
Now, in all fairness to David Haberman, I haven't read the book since I left it in New York 5 years ago, but in all fairness to David Haberman, I remember correctly, he also made some distinction between Rupa Goswami's understanding of rasa and Bharata Muni's, but your point is very well taken. Anyone else? Mataji's? Pushkar Putin?
Well, now my memory's failing, but just recently on Facebook there was a discussion of OBL Kapoor, and he had affiliation with some very strange lineage that we would never consider, you know, authentic lineage after, you know, being with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. He was affiliated with some persons that turned against the Gaudiya line. So nobody should go whole hog and think that they could just, you know, go ahead and just start.
No, we don't.
Prabhupada was very friendly with him. Prabhupada was very genteel with him in Vrindavan and so forth. But and recently, or it was even known then by Prabhupada, you know, but anyway, in other words, he might have written that and might be, you know, also authenticated by.
Well, we have many devotees in ISKCON are writing many, many books. I mean, there's a whole torrent of literature that's coming. Every time you go, there's just dozens of new books coming out. So not all of them are approved by the BBT, but you can find them in a typical bookstall. If not in ISKCON, then you'll find them in Lohi Bazaar. But the point is that we have to learn to read. We have to learn to read, and we have to emulate the Paramahamsas who can separate the milk from the water. In the case of OBL Kapoor, I feel somewhat protected by Prabhupada's endorsement of the book, and from whatever little knowledge I have of Bhagavad Gita or Prabhupada's teachings, there are certain, and I make notes in the margins with pencil. I don't use a pen, but with pencil I make a note. And there are some, you'll see, I lost that one, but I got another copy without notes, but in certain places, I remember Prabhupada said one thing and OBL Kapoor is saying, but usually there were more minor points. But in terms of the essential thrust of the philosophy, because Prabhupada did recommend the book and encourage us to read it, I feel somewhat protected. And it seems to be in sync with what Prabhupada's saying. I mean, Mukunda, did you read that, Life and Religion of OBL Kapoor? Right.
Make the heart anything.
Right.
And
well,
also
I personally.
Ramananda Samvad, if just Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita Ramananda Samvad, all the rasa tattva, everything is in there.
Yeah, this is just very, very like condensed. This book is extremely condensed. Here's a really, you know, the life of Lord Chaitanya and his teachings. I'm not trying to foist it on anybody.
Also, there was at least one article in BTG during Prabhupada's era by OBL Kapoor. At least one. Maybe.
One article, what?
In BTG, back in the 70s.
That?
OBL Kapoor.
Oh, yeah, he published. That was mentioned in his obituary in 2000, that he had published articles in previous BTGs. Yeah, I mean, he's certainly our friend, despite some bad affiliation.
Bad PR.
Yeah. All right? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gantarab Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Jiva Goswami ki jai, Srila Jagadish Pandit ki jai, Tagore Premananda.